Sup? This is Georgia Show. Welcome in on your Wednesday morning. A little early this week. Jake Rowe has a very important day tomorrow, so can't be skipping on that. But before we dive in on the show, got to give a shout out to our friends. We are presented by American Pride Bank. Look, guys, American Pride Bank, your trusted partner when it comes to banking solutions. Whether you're a small business seeking it out, whether you are looking for personal banking, they've got you covered on all the facets. You're always talking to a decision maker when you're talking to American Pride Bank. So get over, check them out. Branches in Athens, Alpharetta, online at AmericanPride.bank. You can check them out there as well. We encourage you to do so. Great friends, great partners, and in your community. AmericanPride.bank, who you want to do your banking with. And they are a member FDIC, an equal opportunity lender. Jake Rowe, coming down the pike here. It's almost about to turn the calendar to May, and it's going to be a big May for the Georgia Bulldogs when it comes to the recruiting trail. Look, it always is, and it's really kind of shifted in a big way over the last couple of years when it comes to recruiting. The scavenger hunt has been kind of the kickoff to summer recruiting season. We'll have that later this month. You've also got all the flurry of official visits getting set up. That first week of June, July has been huge. But May this year shaping up to be a very, very big month for the Georgia Bulldogs. And that's because they got two key decisions coming. Quarterback Jared Curtis and offensive tackle Jackson Cantwell, the top players at their position, according to On3. Five-star plus everywhere you look, these guys are top of the heap no matter which position you're considering. And Jake, Jared Curtis set to decide on Monday, May 5th for Cinco de Mayo. Jackson Cantwell be on the 15th. Both guys with a chance to spend some time in Athens prior to a chance to get in some last visits. I know Mike Bobo recently up in Nashville had a chance to go in home with Jared Curtis. It's been a whirlwind in this one. And look, I'm not going to sit here and try to tell anybody that this thing is going to be signed, sealed, and delivered. I mean, it's May still, for God's sakes. And if we'd been living in a world where Dylan Raiola was competing for the starting quarterback job, probably, if that were the case. But that's not the case. This is going to go on. I am curious, though, a little bit out of this thing, Jake Rowe. Your feelings on this one, I've kind of gone back and forth throughout this one, especially with Jared Curtis. He's previously decommitted from Georgia. I'm sorry, not a five-star plus. I shouldn't have said that. Very close. He will be in the end, ultimately, is what it looks like. I am curious, you know, your thoughts when it comes to this particular recruitment. And let's take the 10,000-foot view to start. Just the overall Curtis recruitment. I know you've watched the film. I have too. We followed the commitment the first time, the decommitment as well. Oregon's been in this thing, Just your overall view of the Jared Curtis recruitment prior to this decision.
Well, I mean, I remember the day he decommitted, and it was right around the time, I want to say it was earlier in the week before Georgia got Elijah Griffith's commitment and before they got before they played Texas that Saturday. And the common refrain was he gone, right? Like and most of the time when guys decommit, they don't come back, they move on from your school. Georgia stayed involved in. They have really recruited him very hard. Mike Bobo, it has been a big part of this recruitment. I mean, I've been critical of the 2024 season for Georgia and how I don't think Georgia got better. I don't think they've recruited the quarterback position as well as they have in years past either. But this is the guy. I mean, this is the guy they targeted early that everybody was excited about when he committed the first time. It sounds like to me that, how long are we away? How far are we away here? 5 days, 6 days, maybe 5 days. It sounds like as of today, I would pick Georgia and I would feel pretty good about that. But, things happen all the time. Things kind of, get wonky in recruiting. But I'll say that, I'm not big on, hey, they did everything they could. What more could you ask? What else were they supposed to do? All that stuff. I'm not real big on that because that's kind of understood. I feel like 99.9% of recruitments, nobody screws it up. Somebody just does better. Somebody just wins. Somebody just pays more. Somebody just offers a better deal. Somebody just resonates more, whatever it is. But I like Georgia's chances of getting him back in the fold. But ultimately, listen, I've got my concerns about Jared Curtis, just like anybody else does, just like I do just about any quarterback that comes out of high school.
Sure.
What competition has he played? How is he going to react to a completely different world?
And I feel like we can, I feel like we can be a little bit frank. If we're talking about competition concerns, they are somewhat legit in my opinion when it comes to Jared Curtis. This is not the top level of Tennessee high school ball. And even if it were, the top level of Tennessee high school ball is not the top level of, say, Georgia or Texas ball.
That's right. And, you know, that doesn't really – I understand totally why Georgia's going after him. The physical talent here is off the charts.
Right.
Okay, like it is – this guy's a really good athlete. He's big. He's got a big-time arm. You know, I had a guy that has a lot of experience. I'm not going to share his name, but there's a guy that has a lot of experience dealing with quarterbacks and coaching football. And he told me that Jared Curtis has kind of one of those once every 25 year arms. It's not Matt Godwin's, not our friend there. I'd drop that name in a heartbeat, but this is like a once every now and then type of arm. In terms of accuracy, in terms of ball placement, in terms of just being able to get it and get it where he wants it with the flick of a wrist. I mean, quick release, he's got it all. He's really talented. But if you're going to jump in, you're going to tell me, hey, I don't love that he plays small school ball. I'm with you. I get that. I totally get that concern.
And it's kind of the Brock Vandegrift. You know, that's where people are kind of gun shy, I think.
This one's a little different than Vandegrift, in my opinion, because I don't necessarily know that. Listen, Brock's a talented kid. I don't think that with Brock it had anything to do with talent. I think it had to do with, you know, just I think he struggled to process the game a little bit. I think sometimes it kind of got a little too fast for him. And again, that may go back to kind of the competition stuff, but ultimately, there's a lot of staffs, a lot of really good coaches sold on this kid. He could call any number of schools. I mean, you're looking at some of them right there. You could call any number of schools, and he could commit to them. Some of them who have evaluated this position for a long time, they know exactly what they're looking for. Nobody's going to be right all the time, but it's the number six prospect in the entire country. And I don't think that anybody should look at this any differently than a huge recruiting win for Georgia if Georgia's able to get him. And it sounds like – and listen, this is one of the reasons I love Justin Hopkins so much over at our Oregon site. He is – and I've watched him do this, and it's so professional. It's so well done, and I appreciate him for it. Justin knows that Oregon's a hurdle for Oregon in just about every single class is going to be distance.
Yeah.
Eugene's a tough place to get to.
I mean, look at the numbers right there on your screen.
Totally. It's right there, 1,977 miles from Curtis's house. Exactly. Yeah. So it's not an easy spot to get to for the bulk of high school prospects. It's California, okay. But other than that, that's the only talent-rich state that's kind of in that area. And I think that's going to end up playing a big factor for him. And I think honestly, it may end up playing a big factor for Jackson Cantwell as well.
I could see that. I'll be honest. The thing that was getting me the whole time, I could not avert my eyes from the total drafted number there, which was Texas A&M had 18 kids in the last 5 years. That's almost unbelievable that they're not doing any better than that. Anyway, regardless of that, yes, I do think that the distance factor will play a big role in this one. I think Mike Bobo is playing a big role in this one, his relationship with Mike Bobo. And the belief that, you know, look, Georgia has been, by many accounts, depending on who you ask, making major hay without necessarily the elite signal caller. And so, you know, how does it change things if they're able to get him? Oh, by the way, also, you know what helps to pair with an elite signal caller is an elite offensive tackle. The industry ranked number one prospect at every position, the number one overall player in the country per the industry ranking, number one offensive tackle, number one player in Missouri, 6'7", 305 pound out of Nixon, Missouri, Jackson Cantwell.
Is he about to fight somebody?
It sounds like Bruce it, right? Yeah.
Let's get ready to rumble.
My God, that's
Michael Kent Buffer. Buffer. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. My God, that's Jackson Cantwell's music.
Yeah.
Dude, not ranked any lower than number three in the entire industry.
Number one offensive tackle every single service.
Strong as new rope. Strong as 40 rows of onions. Yes. You know, that's very impressive. And, you know, I've been honest about Jackson Cantwell, too. I think that if I had to bet on it, I'd say his long-term future's at guard. And I think we're probably talking about him in the same way that they're talking about Will Campbell from this year's draft, which is not ideal arm length, but a very talented offensive lineman. Listen, one of the things I think has really gotten lost at this position as teams have gone for the measurables, and I almost wonder if we're seeing it kind of pay. They talk about in the NFL how they're short on offensive linemen, and they're short on guys that know how to play the position. They're short on this whole idea that guys aren't ready when they get to the NFL. Is it because everybody's taking these raw projects coming out of high school, these extremely raw players, and it just takes a while for them to get where they want them to get? They're taking the traits over good football players. Well, with Jackson Cantwell, I think you've got a 6'7" and a half, 310-pound, really good football player. And I think Will Campbell also kind of fits that mold.
It's kind of the yin and the yang with the Curtis thing, right? It's like you've got the kind of proof of concept here with Cantwell. Not that you don't see it on film with Curtis, but yeah, again, the level of competition. Cantwell, though, you know, you mentioned that guard thing. You keep bringing that up. You brought it up on the board several times. I'm not saying I disagree with you by any measure, but assuming that's the case, Jake, what's his level of play there? I mean, what's his ceiling there? We're talking about the value of a number one offensive tackle, but you put a guy at guard with these kind of traits that people seem to see from this guy. I mean, should he be the number one overall guard? Should he be the number one overall lineman, period?
Yeah, for sure. He's number one overall player, period. Right. So, I mean, you know, I don't think we go any further than that. I mean, I think he could be the number one guard or the number one tackle. And I'm not saying he's for sure destined to guard. It's just my opinion. But, you know, I've heard some, through.
What can he do there?
Not really from Georgia, because Georgia's all in on this kid playing tackle. Sure. But I've heard a few things throughout the industry about the limbs aren't as long as you would like for an offensive tackle. And that goes for legs, too. Like, listen, when you're looking for a tackle, and I don't want to get too inside football here, but like when you're looking for a tackle, you're looking for a high-hipped, long-limbed individual. Yeah. Call it high cut is what they say. Long legs, kick slide, you know, it usually translates to flexibility. You know, there's a lot of different. You're looking for ankle flex. You're looking for the ability to bend at the knees. Like you've got all of those things going on. And listen, phenomenal prospect. Just there are a couple of things that you don't check the box for at offensive tackle that I really believe in. But listen, I watched Jamari Sawyer at 6'2" and some change play left tackle at an extremely high level in this league. Sure. I watched Isaiah Wynn do the exact same thing. Warren McClendon was not an ideal. He's 6'4", good length, but 6'4" guy, not exactly long arms, but not that high cut, you know, individual that I'm talking about. So you know, there's kind of a little bit of a yin and yang there. So I definitely think that he has the ability to play tackle at a high level in the SEC. But, you know, if you ask me, hey, where do you think he would play his absolute best football for the longest time? I think it's at guard. And that's just the way I feel about it. And I think he could be an excellent one. I think he could be one of the best to ever do it. He's got that much talent. But Georgia's all in on him playing tackle. They love him. They love Curtis. And they've got company. They've got so much company.
Sure, sure. Yeah, absolutely. And Oregon is one of those. The major company, it seems to be challenging in both regards. You know, we're a little further out of the Cantwell thing. I am of the mind, Jake, that one feels really good for Georgia at this moment as well. Now, he's coming off of that Oregon visit, and Oregon really did a nice job, I think. But the thing about Georgia that seems to really – or the thing that's really motivated me about Georgia, I would probably have felt completely different had he not amended the visit schedule and then took is planning to take this visit prior to committing to Georgia. Giving Georgia the last shot feels very dangerous to me. For other teams, the relationship with Stacey Searles has been clear throughout. Georgia has been the team that's been the most consistent in this thing. We've said before, and we'll issue the disclaimer again, there are no slam dunks in recruiting anymore, but I feel good this point out of his commitment when it comes to the Bulldogs.
Listen, visits seem to move the needle for him, all of them. And they would listen, me too, man. Me too. I got a chance to take these visits and go fill my belly at these schools and all these different nice meals and meet all these people who are really cool and see all these super cool things and have it just tailored around me and my need. Every single one of them are going to move the visit for. I can be flattered with the best of them, brother. Sure. And it would absolutely move the needle for me. So I get it. And Georgia's going to get the last crack 3 days before he commits. And, you know, listen, I don't think it hurts that that if Georgia's able to get Jerry Curtis in the fold before this happens. I don't think they're a package deal or anything like that. But, yeah. I mean, hey, you get Jerry Curtis on the 5th. Jerry Curtis goes.
People are going to want to play with Jared Curtis.
Yeah.
And this goes back. This goes back to something I said a lot during the Arch Manning recruitment. When you have a guy who is this caliber of player as a number one overall quarterback, right, in the industry, there are extra flash bulbs and there are extra camera lenses that focus on a guy like that. And in the era of brand building, that kind of stuff, being in the orbit of that guy, is important. That's good. And agents recognize the value of something like that, especially at the high school and collegiate level, in my opinion.
Yeah, I do think it gets overplayed sometimes. Dylan Raiola is a good example. You know, he was not the Pied Piper at Georgia, and I kind of cautioned against that. But I do think you got Jerry Curtis committing on May 5th, and so he makes that commitment. Him and his family go out for some fajitas and margs later on that evening to celebrate the Independence Day of Mexico and all that stuff. And you know, he makes a phone call to Jackson Cantwell, and he says, "Hey, I'd love to play together, dude." That does not hurt. That will never hurt. And sometimes it'll help. Maybe it's marginal gains that just kind of tips the scales. Rarely or any is there any such thing as a package deal,
sure,
or anything like that.
Brothers, yeah,
right, yeah, totally. And even sometimes then, I swear to God, it seems like it just gets weird then. But yeah, I swear to God, who is that? Is that that's Donnie Baker, ain't it?
I don't know that. Well, I always think of it from Chappelle's Show. There was
okay,
pray to God, don't drop that.
Oh yeah, pray to God. Yeah, yellow cake.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Speaking of things we talk about frequently here, down a rabbit hole. Look, sunheist.com, our friends, get over and check them out. A tremendous product. Jake, I went out yesterday, helped with a little litter pickup here in town. I put my Sunheist glasses on. I was doing it because I said I got to get up and down with these things. They fit really nicely to me. About an hour and a half into this thing, I was like, I need to go get my sunglasses when I get home, not realizing they were just still on my face. I was now viewing the world in that way because they are so lightweight in the frames. They disappear on your face, which is a great thing to say, to be honest with you. Like I said, we've said before, injected polarization, so it won't delaminate over time. The way that you can customize them, also super appealing. Tons of frames, tons of lenses to go in those frames. Warranty on the frames. You can get the whole package with Sunheist. And oh yeah, you get it at a great deal. And you can get it at an even better deal with our code DAWGSHQ20. That's DAWGSHQ20. You can get over to sunheist.com. Check out their wide selection. Know that you're supporting a business that gives back to the local community and is in the local community. These are folks out of Jefferson, Georgia. They're big dog fans. They support what's going on in the Athens area, and they are great folks to work with. They're going to send you the sweet care package with every order too. You get the case, you get the little sunglass necklace, all that. But get out, check out sunheist.com if you're in the market for some new shades, and they will get you taken care of. And use code DAWGSHQ20 for 20% off your first purchase.
And I'll tell you this real quick. I have seen these right here in person, the poplar with the matte crystal brown back spray and the brown and the polarized lenses. It looks like they're made out of wood. It looks like the frames are made out of wood. Cool. It is the coolest. It is one of the coolest. I actually, Shane had them on when we did our show.
Yeah.
From Redstone, and I asked him. I said, "Dude, are those like faux wood frames?" And he goes, "Not really, but it was kind of an unintended thing that they very much look like them. So they're super cool, man. These are actually brand new frames too. So go check them out."
Yeah. No, great product, guys. Andy Staples has come out with his college football post spring top 25. And worth discussing, in my opinion.
I tried to bat signal Andy Staples to come watch the show. I would love to see him in the comments. I doubt he's in there, but I tried to bat signal him with the tweet. I was going to make sure and mention nobody cares what Andy Staples says, because Andy's a friend. And obviously I do care what Andy says, and I want to say on the front end, I don't totally disagree with him here.
Very interesting ranking here, Jake. A lot to take away from this one, in my opinion. Hunter Lacy says Clemson at 3 is crazy. I tend to agree with you, Hunter. That one feels wild to
me. One where I do totally disagree.
Yeah, I can't see that one right now. Notre Dame going to be interesting for sure. Look, Texas, we saw some of the projected numbers for their salary this year. I think 35 to 40 is what they were thinking for the payroll when it comes to NIL, so they better be number one. Georgia at number 8, though, Jake, and trailed by Illinois. How about the Illini? You'd love to see them stepping up in there. Georgia at number 8, Jake. Fair or foul in your mind to see the Georgia Bulldogs in that position?
Oh, it's totally fair. I think it's totally fair when you start talking about losing 14 or 13 guys to the NFL draft, plus a couple more, you know, pretty valuable guys to the portal, and Carson Beck and Damon Wilson. I read Andy's rationale for this. I don't necessarily agree with all that, because I don't think Georgia's running short on the defensive aliens. I think they've got lots of them, and I still believe in that part of it. But I get it. I'm just not very high on Clemson at 3. Really, here's my thing. I see so many. I see 1 through 8 right there, and really, it's and really 1 through 7, throwing Clemson out, to be honest with you. I see those as very close. I see, and maybe Notre Dame out too, because I'm wondering about that quarterback situation there. But I just think all of those teams are really tight. I don't love Texas at number 1. I think Texas has got O-line and D-line concerns. I'm not going to be
a team. They have D-line concerns. They took like 12 guys at defensive line in the offseason. So they got enough bodies to throw at the problem.
Yeah, still got concerns. Still got concerns. I mean, they're grabbing a lot of these mid-major dudes and trying to figure it out from there. I'm just not super impressed there. Penn State. Listen, I'll come on this show and say, hey, I was wrong. Drew Aller's not it. I'm kind of tired of the Drew Aller talk. I don't think Drew Aller's a very good quarterback, and that's that. I mean, when you can't get a single wide receiver involved in the college football playoff, that to me says something. And I don't think it's just because your receivers are that bad. Ohio State deserves to be up there all the time because they're that talented, and they're the defending national champs. Oregon's going to be pretty good. Alabama, I think, you know, Alabama really is really leaning on this whole, we didn't lose anybody in the spring transfer portal window as kind of a, you know, forerunner of things to come and how great things are going to be. It's year two. And while, you know,
they're still super talented. I mean, they are still phenomenal.
Totally. So many of those teams though up there are going through a quarterback change. So I'm talking myself into understanding why Clemson would jump that high. I just don't think that the talent around Cade Klubnik is good enough to put them there.
And Cade Klubnik, you know, we're talking about quarterback changeover in a lot of these. Cade Klubnik, to me, does not inspire a third pick.
And this team right here, that team right there beat that team right there in their quarterback in the last game of the season. I believe at their place.
That team right there is my sleeper team this year.
See, now that's one I'm a little bit worried about.
Okay.
Because can they handle expectations?
I agree with that. But I think from a talent perspective, they can compete. I think that they, yeah. I mean, I think Lenora Sellers, hell of a quarterback. Dylan Stewart, one of the greatest players in the country right now. He's going to be unbelievable again. Georgia at 8.
Oh, man, Jake. You disappointed me so much, though. I just knew – I know how much you love Nick Harbor, and I just thought you were going to pop in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I want to see him do it, man. I mean, like, I just want to – he's such a freak.
Yeah, don't call Jake Roos a cult member ever, because he, you know, he if he was going to be a cult member to anybody, it would be he would worship at the altar of Nick Harbor and his
extreme athletic
talents. Okay,
the Nick Harbor. Listen, I'll tell you this. I will guarantee you this. If Nick Harbor does not go on to a long, successful NFL career, he will be a WWF world champion. I guarantee it. There's,
well, I mean, they got to write it for him. You know, I mean, it's
They will. He's built like it. He has all the athleticism. He's like Brock Lesnar, man. I mean, he's like the dude's incredible.
Yeah, but you know, he's got to listen. There's more to it than that, and you know it.
Backstage politics at play here.
Yeah, if all it was menacing figure and freak athleticism, I'd be the world champion.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, listen, I think that Georgia at 8 to me feels about right. I don't think I would disagree with that. I think that you could convince me that maybe they should be a little bit lower, and I don't know that I'd disagree with you. I mean, to me, this doesn't feel like a year where we have just like a solid 10. The fact that Florida's at 10 right now, it kind of indicates that to me that we're kind of, you know, having to put a lot of pieces together just based on feel at this point.
You know, the most egregious team in the top 25 at large?
No.
Rocky Top.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Nobody. Sure. Not a chance. Not one chance in hell is Tennessee one of the 25 best teams in the country right now. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Like, I wasn't a big Nico fan. But if Nico had a stranglehold on that job, that tells me something who's behind him.
Sure.
Two, Tennessee, I'm still not cool with you running around beating your chest about how you stood your ground on Nico, because you created that monster and now you had to try and feed him and you couldn't anymore. And then three, you lost a lot of your best players. And you didn't really replace them with a ton of difference makers. So
you're just speaking to that program so demeaningly. Let me tell you what's going on.
Let me tell you what's going to happen, Tennessee. Yeah. I've been telling them, listen, I'm not right about very much. Like, I'm not trying to say I got it. I have been dead on about Tennessee football for two straight years, and I've got the DMs to prove it from Tennessee fans who have been all over me about Joe Milton and Nico Iamaleava.
I'm not real crazy. I think Arizona State could outplay 16 just because they got Kenny Dillingham, and LSU better do better than 15 is what I would say.
I like Ole Miss more than number 19 because I watched Austin Simmons and his southpaw behind just torch Georgia for one drive and then exited, and he started the fire, and Jackson Dart just kind of came in and threw, you know, threw gas all over it.
Texas Tech has to be coming off of, I mean, that 11 spot has to be just coming off of the purchase of the roster, right? I mean, like we don't really know how good Texas Tech is.
The Lubbock purchase. We're not talking about the Louisiana purchase anymore. It's the Lubbock purchase.
I mean, that's what it's got to be coming off of, though, right? I mean, we don't really know how good Texas Tech is, do we?
Yeah, no, not a clue in the world. Who's going to be their quarterback? Do they have a quarterback?
Not that I'm aware. I mean, like, Nico was mentioned with him, so I don't know that they. I don't know who that's going to be.
Man, if Texas Tech didn't give Nico $4 million, I really don't know. I really don't know if
SMU is a team. I feel like I don't know anything much about either.
We'll call Billy Embody. He'll tell us.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that.
Billy is the best.
Absolutely. Now, Georgia at number 8 feels right to me. I don't even know. I mean, going into this season, a lot of unknowns just in the world of college football. I don't look across the landscape and say absolute juggernaut right here. Texas at 1 does make sense to me, though.
All right, moving on to the Hoop Dogs. They add a pair of guards. I'm looking at some notes that you sent me this morning because I know you had been doing some film study on these guards. And
really I like that kid shooting motion.
Yeah, you shooting motion.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so Georgia adds a couple of guards. You know, they get Jordan Ross, not the defensive end from Birmingham, but the point guard from St. Mary's, dipping into kind of the West Coast there again. Not a great 3-point shooter, but kind of your more traditional point guard, and you know, scores about 8 to 10 points a game, knows how to distribute the ball. The one Georgia fans should be excited about, though.
Smart. He's
5'9" to 5'11", depending on where you look. Who knows how tall this man is? He's probably 5'8" and a half. Smurf Melander. So now Georgia, I'd never heard the last name Melander before in my life. I've seen it twice in a span of 5 or 6 months now. I like this kid a lot, Jake, because 2 straight years, remarkable consistency. As a freshman at South Alabama, he shot 43.8% from three-point land. As a sophomore at UTSA, University of Texas, San Antonio, I believe is how you say that.
Yes.
This man shot 43.8% again. So on 233 career three-point attempts, this 5'11", 5'10", 5'9", or 5'8 point guard has hit 43.8% of his attempts. That's impressive. And that's something when you pair him from the kid Georgia got from Wofford, whose name is slipping my mind now because they've added 4 guards via the transfer portal. Georgia's added a couple of shooters to Blue Kane and maybe even Dylan James as guys who can kind of knock down shots from the outside. And I think that was something they were missing last year.
Well, I was going to say, doesn't it feel like Mike White really understood the assignment here? I mean, that was kind of the consistent refrain that we heard was they're missing shooters. They're missing good guard play. And SEC for last year was dominated by guard play. And so I think that this is a situation where they went out and they're kind of taking that Texas approach of let's stack up like 4 or 5 dudes, just put them in the room, and whoever comes out on top of the heap probably be a pretty decent player, you know? So I get where they're coming from with it. It's a smart play. And, you know, like I said, looking at the kid's shot selection, it's tremendous. He really chooses them well. I'm just going on. I got nothing.
And it's hard to run this stuff down and see what these guys are all about. Right. It really is. Yeah. But I will say, you know, guards in college basketball are a lot like wedges in golf, and they're a lot like leadoff hitters in baseball. They it's kind of the straw that stirs the drink because the ball's in their hands a lot more. Quarterbacks in football, it's the ball is in their hands so much more than it's in anybody else's.
Sure.
And so, you know, you can have a presence down low. You can have a presence in the front court. That's fine. You need that. It's great to have that. It's almost like having a stopper, you know, as a starter on a staff. Like if you go through scoring droughts, you can throw the ball down to somebody who can get you a bucket. It's huge. But the guards handle the ball so much, and they have opportunities to create their shots so much that you need guys who can knock down shots. And Silas Demery, it's no mistake that Georgia went on its run last year when Silas Demery got hot. And when he was shooting hot from downtown, when he was hitting that mid-range, when he was hitting threes, Georgia went on a little bit of a run and got itself firmly inside the SEC tournament, NCAA tournament bubble. And I think that they've done a good job. Now, hope springs eternal every offseason, so I get that. But losing Ace Newell is a problem. I think adding Cannon Catchings is going to help with that, but he's not quite that physical force that Ace is. So I think Georgia does need to add another forward, but I really like Georgia's backcourt, even losing Silas Demery more so this coming season than I have in years past. And listen, they've got some continuity there with Somto Cyril coming back. With Dylan James, Blue Kane, they do have some continuity coming back in on that team, and I like that. And I think Mike White and company have a chance to. The SEC is probably not going to be as strong as it was this past year because it was.
I just believe it could be, to be honest.
Yeah, it was historically strong. So if the league takes a step back and Georgia makes a marginal gain, then we're looking at a team that could possibly finish over 500 in the league and make another NCAA tournament in as many seasons. That'd be really nice for Georgia. I think that'd be a good feather in Mike White's cap.
Absolutely. No question about it.
Diamond Dogs are back on the winning track here to kind of wrap up the show. It was looking ugly, Jake, to start off the Oklahoma series. Georgia got blown out there. You know, when they didn't get blown out, they made a comeback, but they kind of got handled there in game one of the Oklahoma series. At that point, Georgia had gone from an 8-1 start in the SEC to 10-9 in the SEC. So you do the math there. That's 2 wins to 8 losses. They had won 2 out of 10 in the league coming into that point. And also they had gotten shut out by Clemson 3-0 midweek. So they were scuffling, and they were sliding. They were playing extremely poor baseball. Not catching the baseball very well.
I hesitate to overreact. It felt like the wheels were coming off a little
bit. It did a little bit. And honestly, I felt like that a couple of times last year too. Like I felt Georgia threw some games away. They didn't really go through a stretch like that, but I thought Georgia threw some games away last year. And I just kind of expected at some point the wheels felt like they were going to come off. Wes is really good at keeping them into it though, because they win the final two of that Oklahoma series. And now they beat Kennesaw State midweek. And here comes a huge series at Missouri for Georgia because, number one, Georgia's got to win it because Missouri's that bad. So Georgia's got to win two out of three. And there's a very good chance that Georgia – there's an expectation that Georgia should sweep this series. Because if Georgia sweeps this series, it takes them to 15-9 on the season. At that point – you need two more wins to get kind of in that top eight territory. You need three or four more wins to solidify you in the top eight. Because right now, Georgia's ranked number nine. The RPI is higher. D1 baseball's got them ranked number nine. I think if Georgia can find a way to win, I would say six out of its last nine games, which is very doable, in my opinion. If it can win six out of its last nine games, it's going to be a lock to host. A regional, and then if it wins that regional, a super regional with a top eight seed.
Yeah, you'd have to think so. I mean, you just got to hope that they can maintain this momentum and not revert to what we saw previously.
That was the slow spell. What sucks for Georgia is that two of these last three series are on the road in a row, but one of them is at Missouri. So they have to play at Missouri, they play at Alabama, and then they get to host a kind of a surging Texas A&M team at home. I don't think Texas A&M has creeped back into the rankings yet after such a terrible start into the top 25, but Texas A&M is playing a lot better. But I don't think Georgia has lost a home series all year. No, they haven't, and they haven't lost a home SEC series in a good little while. But I guess – well, no, I'll take that back. They lost the final series of last season when they kind of already had their spot clinched against Florida. They did lose that series. So I think Georgia's in a really good spot to to host a top eight national seed, to definitely host a regional. We found out last year that that's not everything. Georgia fell to NC State in its own super regional, was able to advance to a super regional for the first time in a very long time. But this team's got a lot of potential, and I could definitely see it kind of surging here at the end and winning six out of this last nine.
What's your expectation for them now? I mean, we've talked about this several times.
They should host a top eight national seed the way the schedule sets up. I mean,
is it all still in front of them though, or do you have a little tempered expectation as to how far they can take it?
No, I think they can take it. Everybody's flawed, man. Everybody's flawed. Texas is on one hell of a run right now. I think Texas is something like 19-2 in the league, which is insane. Good on them. They've played some really good ball. Swept Georgia at their place. So Texas has got it rolling. But outside of Texas, everybody looks pretty vulnerable. I would say, Tennessee looked like a juggernaut early in the season. They've slipped all the way to 12. Arkansas looked like a juggernaut. Arkansas slipped all the way to 11, I think it is. And, Georgia's skidded back. Georgia was all the way as high as number three. And then now they slide all the way back to number, as far as 10. Now they're back up to 9. There's a lot of business for Georgia to take care of. Alabama is ranked. Texas A&M is surging. But Georgia's RPI is up there as high as anybody's. And let me check that out real quick, because I do think Georgia was number one in RPI for the longest time. I'm not sure if that's the case anymore. But, that's a big deal for the NCAA tournament selection committee. And Georgia's number two in RPI behind Texas in front of Auburn. I'm sorry, in front of Vanderbilt, Auburn, LSU, and North Carolina. So the top five teams in the RPI are in the SEC. And, Georgia's played so many of those teams. In fact, seven of the top 10 teams in the RPI are SEC teams. And when you're number two in RPI, if Georgia can be sitting at that spot come season's end, they're going to be a top eight national seed.
Makes sense to me. Guys, show here. All right, I'm out. Thank you guys so much for tuning in over here at the Georgia Show. We'll be back with you on Sunday talking about the weekend that was and previewing that upcoming Jared Curtis decision. In fact, maybe we'll bump it to Monday. Who knows? and see if we can maybe just do a reaction to the Curtis decision. I don't know. We'll play it by ear. Follow the Twitter, follow the page. Get over to Dogs HQ regardless and check out the message board. Come hang on the dog walk. Come talk with us over there. Tons of recruiting content coming your way. Jake Rowe got you covered on all the hoops transfers, all the baseball stuff as well. Jeremy Johnson doing a great job with it. Also, insider notes from Rusty coming on the regular too. Get over, check it all out, dogshq.com, your source for Georgia information. Check out our friends at American Pride Bank, our friends at sunheist.com. Have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you this weekend. See you.